Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Josh Shapiro says he and John Fetterperson are besties again. I don't believe it, though, do you? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour at the Democrat National Convention here in Chicago. No, I still have not gotten a Chicago hot dog. I know. I've tried. It's not my fault. The problem is, quite frankly, by the time I leave here, I'm so exhausted. I just go back to the hotel room and crash, basically. But maybe tonight will change all things. I'm thinking about possibly doing a little boat cruise around Chicago solo. And I'm not taking DeSantis with me, of course, because that would be weird. No, he's got to get back. DeSantis has to get back. He's driving. I'm flying. My flight's tomorrow. And I was originally going to do the show tomorrow. However, the flight changed again. So you're going to have the talk radio stylings of Mike Opelka on a Friday. Then I'm off all next week. Taking the family away on a vacation. Got to do this stuff, you know, before the kids go back to school. Claire's birthday, September 2nd. I'm going to really do my best to stay off social media while I'm away. I know how well that works out. And we'll see. I'll still be posting all my videos because the company that helps me with that will still be posting them. But nevertheless, I'm going to try very hard to decompress because I know that once we get back, the fall is going to be insane. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to have to deal with that. Anyway, Josh Shapiro's speech last night, he had a lot to say, and he did his fake Obama accent last night. I'm telling y'all.
Please welcome Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro.
Yay! The lesser VP choice. Woohoo! I mean, I'm so glad they didn't pick him. But listen to that crowd erupt, huh? Am I right? Listen to that crowd erupt for Shapiro.
Thank you.
No, he has to ease into it a little bit.
Two and a half centuries ago.
No, he doesn't.
In Philadelphia.
Never mind.
A band of patriots.
Two and a half centuries ago, I say, here we are. It didn't take him more than a few seconds to say this for him to start with his Southern Baptist preacher thing. I thought it was going to take a little bit longer. All right, let's go.
It's declare their independence from a king.
And I say and that king is now across the river from me in New Jersey. His royal rugness, King Philip the Unaccountable. He's here today. Sorry, keep going.
Ourselves on a path of self-determination. Generation after generation has embraced that responsibility. Ordinary Americans rising up, demanding more, seeking justice. And in every chapter of our American story,
yes,
we've made progress and advanced the cause of freedom.
Not that much progress, considering that they wouldn't pick you since you're Jewish. I mean, let's be honest. You know, the Democrat Party has not made all that much progress, Gov. If they did, and this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. If they did, you would be in a much different position right now. You'd be the guy out there on the stage on Thursday night, primetime. Even though there were 18 people that spoke before the introduction to Governor Tim Walz and 42 that spoke after. Oh, I got a retweet from Dana Perino last night, my buddy. It was very nice of her. She retweeted my one tweet. My joke was that now we're going to hear from a guy who once went to the same grocery store as Tim Walz. Because they were trying everything they possibly could, I think, to make sure America was in bed before they rolled out the Midwestern goofball. I was calling him the Midwestern doofus, but I think Midwestern goofball works better. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because it's the beginning of the fourth hour and I'm just mentally fried. I don't know. Hard to say. But either way, here's a little bit more of our governor of Pennsylvania, who thinks he's the governor of, I think, Alabama. I'm not quite sure.
Today?
Yes.
Well, today we find ourselves writing that next chapter. Will we be a nation defined by chaos and extremism?
I don't know. You tell me. I just went by chaos and extremism on the way over here a few hours ago. Chaos and extremism with your party out on the streets with Palestinian flags and lots of cops out there. So when you tell me that this is the party of chaos and extremism or that the Republicans are, dude, I was at the RNC. All right. The only thing I saw were cheese curds and beer. A lot of cheese curds and a lot of beer. And I had so many My cholesterol is still up by 300 points. It's that much cheese. And here in Chicago, the cheese curds, you broke into them and there was something missing. It was called, what's the word for it? Cheese, right. All right, keep going.
Will we choose a path of decency,
decency,
honor, and continued progress?
I say decency.
Kamala Harris, well, she has spent her entire career making progress.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, a man with no guardrails, wants to take away our rights and our freedoms. And listen,
yeah.
While he cloaks himself in the blanket of freedom, what he's offering isn't freedom at
all. Okay, what is it?
Because hear me on this. It's not freedom to tell our children what books they're allowed to read.
Whoa, actually,
no, it's not.
We tell our children what movies they can't see. For the record, like, I'm not letting my kids go see Rambo. Not that Rambo's playing in theaters, but you get my point. We have R ratings on movies. Why? I don't understand. And my son has to read a book this summer for school. So we actually do tell our kids what to read all the time. Just, again, just for the record, your southernness, we do tell our kids what they can and can't read, like, all the time. I mean, if a kid tries to go buy a penthouse, do they still sell those? I don't even know. You got to have an ID for it. So we're not telling the kids what books they can't read. That's actually not what we're doing, because kids can still buy whatever the hell they want on Amazon. What we're doing is we're deciding school curriculum, and we're saying that we shouldn't show our children graphic books that have, pornography in them, as part of the curriculum, Governor, as part of the curriculum.
And it's not freedom to tell women what they can do with their bodies.
Except if I'm telling them to get a COVID shot if they want to go to Home Depot or Applebee's. In which case, it's totally fine for me to tell those women what to do with their bodies. Keep going. Oh, he's got the pink crowd on their feet.
This, it sure as hell isn't freedom.
Oh, did he curse?
You can go vote, but he gets to pick the winner. That's not freedom.
What? You can go vote, but he gets to pick the winner? What is that even? I don't even know what that means. What is that? Who gets to pick the winner? I'm trying to understand that. It's not freedom to say you can go vote and he can pick the winner. Who? The person counting? I'm trying to understand who picks the winner. What does that even mean? Like I got a tricky tray? Wait, you go vote by putting your raffle tickets in a basket, hoping to get the purse, and you find out that you didn't get it because they pulled the wrong number? Like, what are you even talking about?
But you know what?
What? What?
You know what, Democrats?
What?
We are the party of real freedom.
Oh, real freedom.
That's right. The kind of real freedom that comes when that child has a great public school.
When that child has
awesome
a school
teacher
that...
Because we believe in her future.
But that's why I've retreated on school choice. It's such a fraud. I mean, we believe when that child has a great school. But if that child's in a failing school, even though I ran on school choice, I'm now abandoning that position because I want to be a star on the Democrat Party on the national stage. Even though here my Jewishness seems to keep getting in the way because the Democrats hate me. But somehow Trump's an anti-Semite. Stop. Dude, if you really believed any of this, if you believed that failing schools were keeping our children behind, then you know what you would do? You would go back to your original position on school choice. All right? That's what you would do. But I'm just saying.
Real freedom that comes when we invest in the police and in the community so that child can walk and from school get home safely to her mama.
I say that child can go to hell, mama. Her mama?
Real freedom.
What year is this?
That comes when she can join a union, marry who she loves, start a family on her own terms, breathe clean air, drink pure water, worship how she wants, and live a life of purpose where she is respected for who she is.
Point of personal privilege, Governor. What if she wants to drink spring water and not pure water? Because some people like the spring water better than the purified water. I'm just pointing that out there. In terms of taste, the minerality, a lot of times they put a lot of minerals in the pure water. So I'm throwing it out there. If she wants to have a Nestle water, who are we to say you must drink Dasani? I believe in a world where you have Poland Spring available at all times, coming to you straight from Maine. I'm just trying to understand this insanity. Go ahead. Yes! Free to marry who she wants, because it's 1967.
Real freedom.
Real freedom.
Real freedom comes when she can look at Madam President and know that this is a nation where anything and everything is possible. That is real freedom, and that is what we are fighting for.
And that is why I identify as Barack Obama. All right, you know what? We have a guest coming up, so I'm taking. I got more to say on this in just a moment, but hang on one second here. Hang on one second. Yes, yes.
You know. Kamala and Tim's names may be on the ballot.
Uh huh. Kamala
and
Tim.
But it's your rights. It's our rights. It's our future and freedoms that are on the line. And you have the power.
I think he's pulling a Rocky IV here. I really do. But if you can change, and I can change, we all can change. It's like Rocky, but with a fake Southern accent, kind of, I think is what he's doing. It's Rocky in Russia.
Shape the future of this country.
Yes.
Just like our ancestors who fought for freedom on the battlefield and sat in at lunch counters so our kids could stand up.
Our kids could stand up. Now, and while you're at it, I'd like to go to a lunch counter right about now.
It's on us.
Yes.
It's on us, my friends, to organize in our communities and on our For You pages.
And our what?
Around three
my OnlyFans
basic
page?
American...
Wait, is he talking about my OnlyFans page? DeSantis, how does the governor know I have an OnlyFans page? Does he subscribe? Hmm? And is it the feet? Is that what did it for you? I'm sorry.
Principles. We value our freedom.
Yes.
We cherish our democracy.
Yes.
And we love this country.
We do love it so much. And I'm here to support a candidate who's going to destroy my state with a fracking ban. I said fracking. I say fracking. Not fracking. You dropped the G.
We love this country.
Right.
And listen.
Yes.
Despite our challenges.
Right.
Hear me on this. I want you to know I have never been more hopeful because I see in all of you, the enduring promise of America.
Yeah.
E pluribus unum.
Ooh, I'm throwing out the Latin card. I'll tell you what, he's multilingual. He speaks fake Southern and now Latin. Now throw out some pig Latin and maybe I'll consider voting for you. If you throw out a little Ipshin, Ashin, Bashin, I think it's, am I speaking pig Latin correctly?
One, it's not merely a motto from the past. It's our direction for the future.
We are one. E pluribus unum. I saw that on a dollar today.
You all give me hope.
You all.
And you all have the power.
Y'all.
So let's use that power. Let's do the hard work necessary.
Y'all come back
to
now,
win
you
this
hear?
Election. And write the next chapter in our American story.
If you say y'all come
so
back here now.
Are you ready to protect our rights?
Yes.
Are you ready to secure our freedoms?
Yes.
And are you ready to defend our democracy?
Yes.
And are you ready
yes.
to elect Kamala Harris
no.
and Tim Walz?
No, that's where you lost me. Sorry.
America, let's get to work.
That was a bridge too far. Like I healed 95 with my hands. I touched 95 and it was reopened with my hands, my golden hands. I said 95, you open right here. All right. But His Royal Ruggedness Murphy came out last night, too. I'm kind of embarrassed. I'm a little embarrassed, honestly, by the fact that these people are from our region of the country with the grandstanding. I'm just saying. It's kind of embarrassing. It's a little bit, I don't know. It's a little much. It's a little much. But the governor of New Jersey came out and he had, you know, a really zippy little line for everybody. And of course, you got to come out with the fake
New
farmer.
New Jersey, how yep. do you cast your vote?
Everybody. Governor Phil Murphy.
Oh!
We're from Jersey, baby. And you're not.
Oh, sick burn, yo. We're from Jersey, baby, and you're not. But I think it's very appropriate, don't you think? If we were to properly, I mean, the king is in Chicago, and I'm just saying, you know, it would be. Peasants, gather around! His royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, wishes to welcome all of you to Chicago. Perhaps you forgot your ID, you filthy peasants, in which case, get out and go to the park. That's probably now, yeah, that's not bad.
Everybody, I'm Governor Phil Murphy.
But hang on. It's not right. There's something missing here. Let's try this again. Peasants, gather around. His royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, would be introduced by a multi-billionaire named Bruce Springsteen, who pretends he is a mere peasant tilling the fields like you. I like that. It's pretty. That's not bad. I like that. Yeah,
We're from Jersey, baby. And you're not.
And then everyone else had a collective sigh of going, phew, we're not. Wow, okay. And then, of course, he had to bring out somebody from the alphabet soup department.
We care about protecting women's rights and lifting up vulnerable communities.
And killing whales. We're not for saving whales because whales don't vote. Dead whales don't vote.
My name is Dr. Joey Perella. Pronouns she, her, hers. I'm a proud resident of the Garden State. I'm proud to stand with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz because they stand with the LGBTQ community.
Okay. Remember, dead whales don't vote.
It's time to turn the page on Trump first. Thank you.
Dead Democrats do. They have that button.
I'm Leroy Jones, the chairman of the New Jersey State Committee.
We need your pronouns, sir. Pronouns. We need pronouns. I'm not getting pronouns.
Jersey and these amazing delegates.
I need pronouns.
Two votes present and 142 votes for Kamala Harris, president of the United.
Did you have to show ID for that? I'm curious if you had to show ID to cast your vote for Kamala Harris to get into the convention. I'm asking for a friend. I've not heard any pronouns. Still not hearing pronouns. All right. Very good. All right, we got a lot more to get to as we continue along here at the Democrat National Convention, our final night. But they're definitely, it's a good thing the show is almost over because I'm definitely getting thrown out of here. No question about it. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, Democrats' secret plot revealed what they're really going for. I can tell you because my buddy Dawn Senslin sent the article to me this morning. Right before I went on her show. Welcome back. It is night number 47 here at the Democrat National Convention in Chicago. At least it feels that way anyway. Final night. And then we're out of here. But I got to tell you, there's more censorship coming out along the Twitter files. And we're going to talk to our buddy Paul Thacker about that a little bit later in the show before we conclude here from the Windy City. But I want to mention this, you know, two things. Number one, the mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, says Kamala Harris will work to make D.C. the 51st state. I've long told you that's the Democrats' secret plan, right? For absolute control, you make D.C. the 51st state. The mayor of D.C. also said that Kamala Harris is committed to ending the filibuster. Now, you make D.C. the 51st state, and again, I know that the Constitution technically prohibits it, but Democrats don't care about the Constitution or the rule of law. So just go with me here for a second what their plan is. Their plan is you make it the 51st state, you get two more Democrat senators, and then you kill the filibuster, you have absolute control over the United States Senate. Then what you do, of course, is you keep letting illegal immigrants into this country. You count them towards apportionment, which is how we decide the seats in the House of Representatives. So you flood the zone with illegal immigrants who technically, as of right now, can't vote, although they'll work on changing that. But even if they don't, you'll allocate more seats to blue areas. That's why Democrats are fake protesting when Republicans send illegal immigrants to their cities, because they know that it's only going to count more towards them getting extra seats in Congress, in the House anyway. So then you have more Democrat control in the House. You have the Democrats controlling the U.S. Senate. Maybe you throw in Puerto Rico as a state just for kicks and giggles. And you have two more Democrat senators that way, too. Kill the filibuster so no Republican can stand in their way. And you have absolute tyranny. absolute tyranny. And then you expand the size of the Supreme Court, make it 14 justices, as Count Grantangelo Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage Band wants to do. Then you have a mini legislature, an unstoppable mini legislature. And that's really what they ultimately want to do. That's ultimately what they want to do. You know, it's funny because as Bill Clinton was up there last night and he was speaking, I kept thinking two things. Man, that dude has not aged well. And number two, I remember when Bill Clinton accepted the nomination in 1992 for president, and he said, we are going with abortion. We want to keep it safe, legal, and rare. Democrats now can't stop talking about abortion. They went from being the party that basically doesn't talk about it to now they can't shut up about it. Politico had a piece about this, too. Abortion was long taboo. Democrats now want everyone to talk about it. Democrats this week spotlighted stories of unwanted pregnancies and men who feared they'd lose their wives because they couldn't obtain emergency abortions. They're trying so hard right now, and this has been every theme you've had about the Republicans will take away your rights. You know, the lie by Tim Walz last night that Trump's going to impose a national abortion ban, which, of course, he has said he's not going to do. And he went on TV this morning to say he's not going to do that. So that was a flat-out lie last night, a flat-out lie by Tim Walz. And Trump said that. He said, I'm not looking to turn around and impose a national abortion ban. They know that. That's a lie. Oh, and by the way, you know, speaking for everybody who's out there saying to Trump, you know, you got to tone it down with the insults and the nicknames and everything like this. He does make a good point about how they're always coming after him with insults and nicknames. I mean, he does kind of make a good
point. Did you see Barack Hussein Obama last night take little shots? He was taking shots at your president.
Shots.
And so is Michelle. You know, they always say, sure, please stick to policy. Don't get personal. And yet they're getting personal all night long, these people. Do I still have to stick to policy? Sir, you must stick to policy. You'll win it on the border. You'll win it with inflation. You'll win it with your great military that you built that they gave away $85 billion worth of it in Afghanistan. Sir, you're going to win it on crime. The crime is running through the streets like never before. You're going to win it on all.
Yeah, look, and I understand that there's a significant number of people who are saying, yeah, he should just stick to policy. I get it. But they have said some pretty mean stuff about him all week. I'm just throwing it out there. And Tim Walz was out there lying his goofy Midwestern face off last night when he was out there lying about what Trump's going
to
do.
Free to build the kind of life they want. But not everyone has that same sense of responsibility. Some folks just don't understand what it takes to be a good neighbor. Take Donald Trump and J.D. Vance.
Hang on a second. I got to ask a quick question to the governor. Sir, is it a good neighbor if I rat out my neighbors for having more people over their house during COVID? Like, does that in your eyes make me a good neighbor? I'm just curious. Like a good neighbor, I'll rat you out. What do you think, DeSantis? Is that a catchy theme song? Like a good neighbor, I'll call the Minnesota State COVID hotline and rat you out. Hi, are you here to borrow some sugar? No, I'm here to call the police on you. You have 12 people at your house. Is that, I'm asking for a friend. I don't know what it's like. What defines good neighbor?
Their project 2025 will make things much, much harder for people who are just trying to live their lives. They spent a lot of time pretending they know nothing about this. But look, I coached high school football long enough to know, and trust me on this.
Okay, we don't trust you on anything, and you really didn't coach. You were a volunteer coach because you couldn't get hired as a coach because of your criminal background with a DUI. All right? And also, I don't want you anywhere near a locker room if my kids are in it. I'm just saying. By the way, you know why he was late last night? They found a couple boys' bathrooms in Illinois that weren't stocked with tampons. Do you know that? He was out there stocking them. True story. No joke, folks.
When somebody takes the time to draw up a playbook, they're going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And we know,
yes,
if these guys get back in the White House, they'll start jacking up the costs on the middle class. They'll repeal the Affordable Care Act. They'll gut Social Security and Medicare. And they will ban abortion across this country with or without Congress.
That's not true. Trump has already said he's not going to do that.
It's an agenda nobody asked for. It's an agenda that serves nobody except the richest and the most extreme amongst us. And it's an agenda that does nothing for our neighbors in need.
Is like a good neighbor, I'll rat you out. By the way, he's lying about that. The Republicans don't want to do that. Donald Trump has said it before, and he's said it again. And he said it this morning on Fox and Friends. You know, this is not something I want to do. They're lying about this. And also gutting Social Security and Medicare. You know, I mean, where is that coming from? This is the fear factor. This is what I mean. They all come out with fear because they can't run on issues. They can't. So they have to run by scaring everybody. And they even brought out a comedian last night to help with that. They brought out a Saturday Night Live comedian, Kenan Thompson, who brought out this giant book of 2025. This is all part of the fear thing, and in a funny but scary way, wants you to be afraid of this. This is the Democrats' message. Be afraid, be very, very afraid.
You ever seen a document that could kill a small animal and democracy at the same time? Here it is. You know how when you download an app and there are hundreds of pages there that you don't read, it's just the terms and conditions, and you just click agree, right? Well, these are the terms and conditions of a second Trump presidency. You vote for him, you vote for all of this. Let's take a look. You ever seen a document?
And he slams it down on the podium.
Democracy at the same—
very, very funny. Kill a small animal and democracy at the same time. Very, very funny. All right. As we continue along here at the Democrat National Convention, that's all they have. They have fear. Tonight's policy speech by Kamala Harris, as I've been saying throughout the show today, it's going to be very, very light in substance. You're not going to hear a substantive speech because they can't get into policy specifics. It's going to be a lot of grandiose promises and a lot of fear factoring. And that's been really what this whole convention's been about. A choreographed Hollywood show with celebrities scaring you, making you afraid, but very, very light on policy, very light on specifics. And as joyful as they pretend to be, the whole thing was quite terrifying. Complete with a vampire with a piece of toilet paper stuck to her shoe. We'll be right back.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, joining me now to discuss the latest on the Twitter files, because it always seems like we have more and more censorship. We're learning more about it, and I don't care about the hoopla of a convention. We're not going to let this story go. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Scioli. Joining me now, Paul Thacker. He's over at Substack. He's got a great, The Disinformation Chronicles. You better subscribe to it. It's fantastic. Hey, Paul, thanks for joining me. I know you're in Spain, so I appreciate your time.
Hey, man, thanks so much. Like, you know, I think it's a really important story because we were told for a long time, especially by Democrats, that Twitter was independent, that it came into pressure from the Biden administration. But I think with these emails show that that's really not the case.
Yeah, so the latest piece, and this is very key, emails show Twitter coordinated closely with Biden administration and allied lobbyists on censorship problems. Now, this is key because we've talked a lot about the Biden administration working with Twitter, now X. This is pre-Elon Musk days. But I didn't realize about the lobbyists who were involved here as well. So tell us more about that.
So what happened was I had noticed that there, when I first looked at Twitter like last year, I know there's a lot of criticism of Musk for how he handled problems involving foreign countries. And one of the first things that I noticed, I had some emails that showed when the old Twitter back in 2021 had problems with India. What they did was they hired a PR firm to then work with the Biden administration to deal with that. And they worked very closely with the Biden administration on this. So the idea that they did not coordinate with the Biden administration is totally false. Now, what's interesting about that PR firm is that PR firm is called Albright Stone Ridge. And Albright is from Madeleine Albright, who's the former Secretary of State. And she was also on the board of a group called the Atlantic Group. And the Atlantic Group was working very closely with the State Department at the same time to censor people. So what happened with the India stuff, with India coming after Twitter, is it drove them right into the arms of lobbyists allied with the Biden administration and right into the arms of the Biden State Department. And so the idea that somehow Twitter was divorced from the Biden administration is totally false. I mean, there's no, they were reliant on the Biden administration to help them deal with problems in India, which was their third largest market.
The third largest market, you said?
Their third largest market is India.
Okay.
It's America. I don't know the second, but their third largest market is India. And so they were very reliant on working directly with the Biden administration to deal with their third largest market. So the idea that they would somehow like ignore referrals coming from the State Department and just ignore that when they were actually actively working with the State Department to deal with India is just total nonsense.
And according to these released emails, when India pressured Twitter to censor accounts, Twitter hired Albright Stoneridge, as you point out, to lobby Biden's right. State Department for help. And you, this is a key from the email. This is John Hughes from Albright Stonebridge Group, the commercial diplomacy firm founded by former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, wrote Twitter's lobbyist wrote that to Deputy Assistant Secretary Laura Stone, who oversaw U.S. policy with India. We are wondering if you or somebody on your team would be available tomorrow for us to brief you further on this issue and to seek your advice on how to approach and whether the embassy would be willing to raise this with the Indian government. So basically, as I understand it, our own government is working to censor. And meanwhile, the same company that's being pressured by our government to censor is hiring a lobbying firm to deal with censorship that is trying to be imposed by another country. Is that an accurate summary of everything?
No, that's totally it. But it's even more than that. The firm that they hired was working very closely with the Biden administration. So of the many people that went to the Biden administration, 10 of their senior people came out of that same lobby shop. So this is a lobby shop that's very closely working with the Biden administration. It had a lot of Biden administration loyalists. And so to me, the idea that somehow Twitter was divorced, independent, could make its own decisions, you know, irrespective of what the State Department told them to do, it's just total nonsense because they were reliant on State Department to deal with their third largest market on the planet.
The other point, too, which you point out in your piece, Paul Thacker, and I'm grateful that you're joining me here today, and you should subscribe to the Disinformation Chronicle by Paul Thacker, is that, you know, Elon Musk gets in a lot of trouble. Like, he shut down operations of X in Brazil. And why did he do that recently, so people understand that?
He did that because he got, it's the same thing was happening in India. He was getting legal notices that he had to take certain actions, and he refused to do that. And so he basically pulled out of Brazil. Now, some of the same things are happening. Like, the thing you have to understand is that like every country can impose its own laws. Even though this is an American company, you know, it operates globally. So every country can impose their own country's laws. And so the issue is that under the old Twitter, what Twitter did was they began working very closely with the American government, even as they were trying to say that they were independent of the American government, right? And now what we have is Elon Musk being harassed, not just by Brazil, but the EU now is going to come after him. And my concern is, like, what is the American government doing right now? Are they trying to help an American company the way they tried to help the old American, like the old Twitter, when it was like operated not by Elon Musk? Because they worked very closely with them to try to deal with India. Are they doing the same thing now? As Elon Musk is being harassed by the EU, as Elon Musk is being harassed by Brazil, my guess is probably that they're not doing that.
No, I think that's an accurate guess, Paul Thacker. And it's frustrating because with everything that we're dealing with right now, with the censorship of the American public and what we're learning about this, I think what's very obvious is that this coordination of censorship that occurred was not just in the United States, it was global. But the forces around it are still very much involved in our government, and they're still very much involved in the establishment. You know, I think about Bernie Sanders calling them out the other night from the podium of the Democrat National Convention, you know, the billionaires and the elites and everything like this. I mean, this is the same class of people in Washington and in international diplomacy and in lobbying, and they're all having steak dinners together, and they're very much okay with making individual citizens give up their liberty in the name of whatever global cause they're advancing, whether it's COVID or I'm sure at some point it'll be climate change. I mean, we know the World Health Organization and we know that the Bond villains at Davos want to have coordinated efforts on this stuff going forward. So what concerns me about this and why I wanted to have you on the show today is, as you know, we hear them go at their annual conferences and they talk about having these international pandemic treaties, and is that you could very easily see this international effort of censorship under the guise of keeping us safe from, you know, Mpox or keeping us safe from fossil fuels or really whatever they want it to be. And the forces that are aligned here will just do this either for the sake of money or power or whatever else. But these people don't seem to be operating out of principle.
Well, I think one thing to think about is that there's a myth out there that the people being censored right now are conservatives, which is not true. There's people across the political spectrum. There's quite a few people on the left that have also been censored over the years. And the thing to understand is that the censorship has come from people in power. And the people in power essentially are people who are aligned politically, ideologically, culturally with those who are center left, right? The corporate Democrats, you know, however you choose to describe them. And they're the ones that are setting sort of standards on what is true and not true. And what we need to think about is that, like, yes, I mean, I wake up every day and I deal with stuff that's like nonsense, you know, that like is not true. I think it needs to be censored and shut down. It should not, like, people should not have an opinion. And I think that's the problem we're dealing with, is we're dealing with a situation in which the ideas that we're allowed to think about and the words we're allowed to read are being narrowed. And why is that? And I think it's literally because of power. Oftentimes, like, ideological power or maybe corporate power or financial power. But we should allow people from like far left to far right to have a point of view and to allow those views to be considered. And then what we often do, which I do every day, is I ignore them. That's what I do. Every day I see stupid things on Twitter and I ignore it. That's what I do. That's the adult thing to do, is ignore it. Not to say, you're not allowed to say that. You know, that's what we do to children, you know.
Agree. But I guess the last question I have for you, Paul Thacker, is why does the censorship still occur? I mean, we've exposed so much of this. You've done a great job over the years exposing this. Why does it still happen? Is it because the powerful are afraid of opinions on the right or the left that challenge them?
I think it's a way for what's happened in the media. The media has lost power. Mm-hmm. It's not, it doesn't have the ability to like determine what people think and shape ideas anymore. And so the way they sought to try to like buttress that power is by censoring other ideas. Some of those ideas are, by the way, are crazy and make no sense. But, you know, what you can do is you just like turn the page or like ignore that. But it's really about trying to buttress the power of people who have power already.
Paul Thacker, I appreciate your time today. The Disinformation Chronicles. Subscribe today. Paul, what's the best way for people to find your site and then subscribe?
Just Google the Disinformation Chronicle and then get on there and subscribe.
All right, my friend. I appreciate you making the time today. All the way from Spain, calling into Chicago at the DNC. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that concludes it for us here at the Democrat National Convention. What a perfect way to end the week with talks of censorship, which obviously the left loves. Have a great rest of your night tonight. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. I'm sure I'll be tweeting during the big speech tonight. The question still on everyone's mind is, what color will Kamala Harris be wearing? What color? Will she be going wolf in white pantsuit? Will she be going black? Will she be going red, blood red like Pelosi? By the way, the toilet paper under her shoe, still the best part of the DNC. In my opinion, toilet paper under the shoe of the vampiric one, by far the absolute best moment of the DNC. Hey, have a great tomorrow. Have a great week next week. And I look forward to being back with you after Labor Day as we will begin a very busy and hectic election season. Thank you so much for listening.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, joining me now to discuss the latest on the Twitter files, because it always seems like we have more and more censorship. We're learning more about it, and I don't care about the hoopla of a convention. We're not going to let this story go. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Joining me now, Paul Thacker. He's over at Substack. He's got a great, The Disinformation Chronicles. You better subscribe to it. It's fantastic. Hey, Paul, thanks for joining me. I know you're in Spain, so I appreciate your time.
Hey, man, thanks so much. Like, you know, I think it's a really important story because we were told for a long time, especially by Democrats, that Twitter was independent, that it came into pressure from the Biden administration. But I think with these, these emails show that that's really not the case.
Yeah, so the latest piece, and this is very key, emails show Twitter coordinated closely with Biden administration and allied lobbyists on censorship problems. Now, this is key because we've talked a lot about the Biden administration working with Twitter, now X. This is pre-Elon Musk days. But I didn't realize about the lobbyists who were involved here as well. So tell us more about that.
So what happened was I had noticed that there, when I first looked at Twitter like last year, I noticed there's a lot of criticism of Musk for how he handled problems involving foreign countries. And one of the first things that I noticed, I had some emails that showed when the old Twitter back in 2021 had problems with India. What they did was they hired a PR firm to then work with the Biden administration to deal with that. And they worked very closely with the Biden administration on this. So the idea that they did not coordinate with the Biden administration is totally false. Now, what's interesting about that PR firm is that PR firm is called Albright Stone Ridge. And Albright is from Madeleine Albright, who's the former Secretary of State. And she was also on the board of a group called the Atlantic Group. And the Atlantic Group was working very closely with the State Department at the same time to censor people. So what happened with the India stuff, with India coming after Twitter, is it drove them right into the arms of lobbyists allied with the Biden administration and right into the arms of the Biden State Department. And so the idea that somehow Twitter was divorced from the Biden administration is totally false. I mean, there's no, they were reliant on the Biden administration to help them deal with problems in India, which was their third largest market.
The third largest market, you said?
Their third largest market is India.
Okay.
It's America. I don't know the second, but their third largest market is India. And so they were very reliant on working directly with the Biden administration to deal with their third largest market. So the idea that they would somehow ignore, referrals coming from the State Department and just ignore that when they were actively working with the State Department to deal with India is just total nonsense.
And according to these released emails, when India pressured Twitter to censor accounts, Twitter hired Albright Stone Ridge, as you point out, to lobby Biden State Department for help. And this is a key from the email. This is John Hughes from Albright Stone Ridge Group, the commercial diplomacy firm founded by former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, wrote Twitter's lobbyist wrote that to Deputy Assistant Secretary Laura Stone, who oversaw U.S. policy with India. We are wondering if you or somebody on your team would be available tomorrow for us to brief you further on this issue and to seek your advice on how to approach and whether the embassy would be willing to raise this with the Indian government. So basically, as I understand it, our own government is working to censor. And meanwhile, the same company that's being pressured by our government to censor is hiring a lobbying firm to deal with censorship that is trying to be imposed by another country. Is that an accurate summary of everything?
No, that's totally it. But it's even more than that. The firm that they hired was working very closely with the Biden administration. So of the many people that went to the Biden administration, 10 of their senior people came out of that same lobby shop. So this is a lobby shop that's very closely working with the Biden administration. It had a lot of Biden administration loyalists. And so to me, the idea that somehow Twitter was divorced, independent, could make its own decisions, you know, irrespective of what the State Department told them to do, it's just total nonsense because they were reliant on State Department to deal with their third largest market on the planet.
The other point, too, which you point out in your piece, Paul Thacker, and I'm grateful that you're joining me here today, and you should subscribe to the Disinformation Chronicle by Paul Thacker, is that, you know, Elon Musk gets in a lot of trouble. Like, he shut down operations of X in Brazil. And why did he do that recently, so people understand that?
He did that because he got... It's the same thing was happening in India. He was getting... legal notices that he had to take certain actions, and he refused to do that. And so he basically pulled out of Brazil. Now, some of the same things are happening. Like, the thing you have to understand is that, like, every country can impose its own laws. Even though this is an American company, you know, it operates globally. So every country can impose their own country's laws. And the question, and so the issue is that under the old Twitter, what Twitter did was they began working very closely with the American government, even as they were trying to say that they were independent of the American government, right? And now what we have is Elon Musk being harassed, not just by Brazil, but the EU now is going to come after him. And my concern is, like, what is the American government doing right now? Are they trying to help an American company the way they tried to help the old American, like the old Twitter, when it was, like, operated not by Elon Musk? Because they worked very closely with them to try to deal with India. Are they doing the same thing now? As Elon Musk is being harassed by the EU, as Elon Musk is being harassed by Brazil, my guess is probably that they're not doing that.
No, I think that's an accurate guess, Paul Thacker. And it's frustrating because with everything that we're dealing with right now, with the censorship of the American public and what we're learning about this, I think what's very obvious is that this coordination of censorship that occurred was not just in the United States, it was global. But the forces around it are still very much involved in our government, and they're still very much involved in the establishment. You know, I think about Bernie Sanders calling them out the other night from the podium of the right. Democrat National Convention, you know, the billionaires and the elites and everything like this. I mean, this is the same class of people in Washington and in international diplomacy and in lobbying, and they're all having steak dinners together, and they're very much okay with making individual citizens give up their liberty in the name of whatever global cause they're advancing, whether it's COVID or I'm sure at some point it'll be climate change. I mean, and we know the World Health Organization, and we know that the Bond villains at Davos want to have coordinated efforts on this stuff going forward. So what concerns me about this and why I wanted to have you on the show today is, as you know, we hear them go at their annual conferences and they talk about having these international pandemic treaties, and is that you could very easily see this international effort of censorship under the guise of keeping us safe from, you know, Mpox or keeping us safe from fossil fuels or really whatever they want it to be. And the forces that are aligned here will just do this either for the sake of money or power or whatever else. But these people don't seem to be operating out of principle.
Well, I think one thing to think about is that there's a myth out there that the people being censored right now are conservatives, which is not true. There's people across the political spectrum. There's quite a few people on the left that have also been censored over the years. And the thing to understand is that the censorship has come from people in power. And the people in power essentially are people who are aligned politically, ideologically, culturally with those who are center left, right? The corporate Democrats, you know, however you choose to describe them. And they're the ones that are setting sort of standards on what is true and not true. And what we need to think about is that, like, yes, I mean, I wake up every day and I deal with stuff that's like nonsense, you know, that like is not true. I just think it needs to be censored and shut down. It should not, like, people should not have an opinion. And I think that's the problem we're dealing with, is we're dealing with a situation in which the ideas that we're allowed to think about and the words we're allowed to read are being narrowed. And why is that? And I think it's literally because of power. Oftentimes, like, ideological power or maybe corporate power or financial power. But we should allow people from like far left to far right to have a point of view and to allow those views to be considered. And then what we often do, which I do every day, is I ignore them. That's what I do. Every day I see stupid things on Twitter and I ignore it. That's what I do. That's the adult thing to do, is ignore it. Not to say you're not allowed to say that. You know, that's what we do to children, you know.
Agree. But I guess the last question I have for you, Paul Thacker, is why does the censorship still occur? I mean, we've exposed so much of this. You've done a great job over the years exposing this. Why does it still happen? Is it because the powerful are afraid of opinions on the right or the left that challenge them?
I think it's a way for what's happened in the media is the media has lost power. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the ability to like determine what people think and shape ideas anymore. And so the way they've sought to try to like buttress that power is by censoring other ideas. Some of those ideas are, by the way, are crazy and make no sense. But, you know, what you can do is you just like turn the page or like ignore that. But it's really about trying to buttress the power of people who have power already.
Paul Thacker, I appreciate your time today. The Disinformation Chronicles. Subscribe today. Paul, what's the best way for people to find your site and then subscribe?
Just Google the Disinformation Chronicle and then get on there and subscribe.
All right, my friend. I appreciate making the time today. All the way from Spain, calling into Chicago at the DNC. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that concludes it for us here at the Democrat National Convention. What a perfect way to end the week with talks of censorship, which obviously the left loves. Have a great rest of your night tonight. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. I'm sure I'll be tweeting during the big speech tonight. The question still on everyone's mind is, what color will Kamala Harris be wearing? What color? Will she be going wolf in white pantsuit? Will she be going black? Will she be going red, blood red like Pelosi? By the way, the toilet paper under her shoe, still the best part of the DNC. In my opinion, toilet paper under the shoe of the vampiric one, by far the absolute best moment of the DNC. Hey, have a great tomorrow. Have a great week next week. And I look forward to being back with you after Labor Day as we will begin a very busy and hectic election season. Thank you so much for listening.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.